We have to give a big fat shout out to Jody, the lead guitar player, who, well, let's say he's not here.
He's curled up with his puggle right now.
He actually sent me a photo of two dogs on my phone just a few minutes ago and gave me some lame excuse about he has to look after his animals. Is this...
Since when did he start looking after his own animals? It's crazy.
He can't even look after himself.
You know, the funny thing is Jody made this really good solo record a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. And I was all gonna talk about how great it is and play it on the radio today and... Mm. Eh.
Such a shame.
Yeah, it's really sad. It could have been really, I think, the jumping off point for, but we've got the rest.
I hope the stripper was worth it.
And the Jamesons we brought in specially for him. So, guys, it's so great to have you back. And, of course, as is so often the case with this band, it's what, like 4 years between records for you guys?
Yeah, that seems to be the pace we work at.
That's sort of partly a function, I'm sure, of the record company, but partly a function of how you guys work. How much is which?
I mean, the most important thing for us is just waiting until we have a batch of songs we're happy about. That takes some time. Mm-hmm. And then there's always some external factors. And, you know, we always think it's going to be faster this time, and it always ends up being the same. So we don't fight it.
Yeah. Well, this is, I think, a really fine record. And I think almost to a one, the reviews that I've read of it so far are wildly positive. How are you feeling about this batch of new songs at this point?
I like it.
I like how Chris just steps up. He's definitive.
Yeah.
There's no ambiguity about it. What are you going to say? It's not really our best work.
not a fan.
Well, in that case, why don't you play a song from the new one?
Oh, we will.
Us?
Good idea.
I think that's a fantastic idea. Fountains of Wayne today on FUV.
We've got should drop on by at the summer place. The injuries fade, but the memories last a lifetime. A lifetime. A lifetime. A lifetime.
Fountains of Wayne in Studio A today on WFUV. I'm Claudia Marshall, and that's the first song from the new record, Sky Full of Holes, first record we've had from the band in a few years. You know, you don't make a great many records, but by my lights, you also don't make any bad ones. Is there a lot of material floating out there that has gotten sort of left by the wayside in trying to winnow down the material to make this record?
A few things, but not a ton. We don't really write way more than we've got or than we need. And it used to be that you needed all this stuff for B-sides and things like that, but I don't even know if that exists anymore. Is there such a thing?
I don't even know.
Is there a music industry anymore?
I don't know.
I'm not really sure.
I don't know. But, you know, it's funny. The last record that you released, Traffic and Weather, was about 4 years ago. Probably not your strongest selling record, but even that disc had a song on it that I think Rolling Stone named one of the top 50 songs of the year. So it's not like you're putting out a lot of junk. But in the meantime, you guys have all these side projects going as well. I always think of it as being you're out there juggling. You've got Ivy, Adam Schlesinger. You're about ready to release a new Ivy record, the first in, what, 4 years? Six?
Yeah, Ivy. Years for Ivy's Ivy? An even longer break this time. Yeah, yeah. It's coming out in September.
Right, and of course there's all the TV and movie stuff.
And Jody's got his dogs to take care
Jody's
of.
Jody's got his dogs. And Chris, are you still doing the country band?
On and off, yeah. I mean, those guys all have their own bands, so it's kind of whenever we get a chance.
Right, right. And, of course, Jody made his solo record. He's busy walking the dogs.
He likes dogs. And, what are you going
to do? And Brian used to play in a circus. That was about 20 years ago.
That's a true story. And, yeah. And I'm getting my pilot's license.
I'd like to get back in if I could.
In the circus?
Brian wants to go back to the circus. Are you really getting your pilot's license?
Hell no.
I was going to say, run for your lives. But, you know, it's funny. You guys live all in different places. Are you still up in Massachusetts?
Yeah, Western Mass.
Right, and you're up the road from us here, not too far from here.
I'm representing the Bronx.
All right, baby. And Jody's out in Jersey City.
Walking the dogs.
Walking the dogs. And Brian's out in somewhere in Los Angeles, right?
On a boat.
What, on a boat?
Yeah.
You still live on a boat?
Yeah.
You didn't give that up yet.
So I'm on a boat.
Here you are. You guys are all living in different places. You've got all these various interests and side projects. Why? What, aside from obviously, hopefully a big payday, what keeps you coming back together?
A big payday.
Yeah, we're in this for the money.
He thought that was hysterically funny, didn't he? But seriously, what brings you guys back together again to make record after record?
I mean, we like this band. We like to do
it.
Beats flipping eggs.
I hardly picture you flipping eggs as the alternative, Chris Collingwood.
I used to sling burgers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hardee's.
Is it fun when you guys get in the room after a break?
I mean, it you know, there really is a chemistry between the four people. And when we work in the studio, that's really the most fun part of the process, I think, because it's you know, you've written something, but you've just been playing it by yourself. And then to hear it really turn into three dimensions with everybody adding their thing to it is always satisfying.
And for you, Adam, is that somewhat more satisfying than performing live?
I mean, it's different. You know, I really enjoy playing live, and I think this band got a lot better over the years. I think, like, we've really kind of hit a new level in the last few. We did a lot of touring between this record and the last one, actually, and
right.
We did this whole acoustic tour, which is, it's kind of like the format we're in right now, except it also had Jody, who showed up for those. but you know, it was cool. It was
Jody,
fun to mix
the former lead guitar player of Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah,
but it was cool to do the songs in a different format and bring a somewhat different sound to them. So it's apples and oranges, really, for you.
Like, the live thing is less using your brain and more just the visceral energy, I think. And
see, I was there one night when Jody threw his guitar across the stage and almost hit you. Do you remember that? It was a few years ago, but it sort of stuck in my mind.
That happened once in San Francisco at the what's the famous theater?
Fillmore.
at the Fillmore. He saw this picture of Pete Townsend in the lobby with the guitar like 20 feet over his head. He's like, I got to do that. So he threw it up. But he didn't tell me. So if I hadn't looked up, I would have been dead, I think.
He's a wild man.
Yeah.
And the text, the other text that he sent me, now I may be telling tales out of school, is he referred to, I believe, Chris and Adam as the brunch bunch.
It was the brunch buddies. He's mad at us right now.
Yeah.
He's mad at us because why?
Because we wouldn't pay for a hotel room for him 5 miles from where he lives.
See, I think some of the stuff that goes on in bands is nuts. But the fact that you guys keep coming together, you keep making these records is, you know, for a big fan like me, it's really good news. And Sky Full of Holes is the new one. There's a song at the very end of the record, which is, I want to say one of the most unusual songs I've heard from you guys and really very moving. You want to talk a little bit about this before you play it?
Cemetery Guns, it's just, it's about a military funeral, and I think appropriately so, it's got a march, kind of drum feel to it, a lot of dead people, you know.
That will happen at a military funeral, a dead person or two. And where did the song actually come from? Was there a spark that started this in the first place?
Yeah, actually, some foreign journalist asked me a while ago, I'm not really sure on the eve of or the beginning of one of our invasions or wars, just if the band ever felt compelled to address the serious stuff in the world and you know, it's just a kind of something we'd never done before, and why not? So.
And here it is. The song is called Cemetery Guns. It's Fountains of Wayne on WFUV.
Creeping up the Empire Hill, there's shadows on the overpass and puddles in the old dirt path. Peoria lay silent still in the belly of the overgrown, all quiet on the open plain. Footprints to the family plot, wherevermore will restless sorrow sleep in a broken heap. Cemetery guns go bang, 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 shooting all the sky for holes, 21 times in a row. For the blue war widow in the gray raincoat, on the green grass down below.
Fountains of Wayne are with us in Studio A today on WFUV. I'm Claudia Marshall. That's a song from this new one, Sky Full of Holes. In fact, the song from which the record takes its title. Have you guys played that song out much in concert so far?
Yeah, that's actually one of the four or five from the record that we were touring acoustically with.
How does that go over in the middle of a set next to, say, Radiation
Vibe? Kids love
vibe.
Dirges. We found the kids love
the
dirges.
The kids love the sad ones.
Yeah.
Huh.
There's a lot of moshing, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of flashing.
Flashing.
But that, seriously, that's got to be interesting to sort of fit that in with Jill Ray, or, you know, where do you put that in the set?
You know what you
exactly?
do is, like, you work everyone up into a frenzy with a
right,
bunch of big
right.
rockers, and then you just kill the momentum with that one. Works every time.
It all depends what you're going for.
Right,
you know,
I guess
if that's your goal, then
that would do it. Was there ever a moment where you were like, this is not a Fountains of Wayne song?
Well, I think part of the idea with this record was that there really shouldn't be a rule like that about anything.
Mm.
If one of
mm.
us has an idea. I mean, there's some stuff where we play and it just doesn't come out good, and that's a different story. But
yeah. I think it's a great song, and I also think it's very properly placed on the record. Sequencing, you know, what a nightmare that's got to be, figuring out what goes where on the record. Although, does anybody even...
Yeah, then people put it in their iTunes on shuffle.
To a shuffle. Okay, all right. I'm kind of old school when it comes to that. But, you know, that song notwithstanding, I actually take issue with the Rolling Stone headline, you know, the skies are darkening over suburbia, and they say there's an ominous vibe. I mean, I don't feel that way about this record. Do you?
That guy was crazy that wrote that.
I think there are more melancholy moments on this record than our previous records.
Do
probably.
You?
I do, but that doesn't mean that it's a, you know, that it's like...
I don't think it's a dark record
dark
overall.
Record.
Not in the least. I mean, you listen to a song like Radio Bar... That's, you know, I mean, there's always going to be an edge, I think, to what you guys do.
But, he's in U2.
But, yes.
There's always going to be in the edge.
There's always going to be and the edge. You know, but by the same token, the review in the New York Times sort of indicates that Fountains of Wayne is my phrase would be a kinder, gentler band, that you're a little nicer to the characters in these songs than maybe you've been to some of the characters in previous records.
I mean, I never really understood that perception in general.
I'm not sure where that comes from.
What was the headline now? Fountains of Wayne, now with less smirking.
I really don't see that in, I mean, with maybe a couple of exceptions, I think we try to steer away from that in general. And
from smirking or from reading the New York Times?
I don't really personally think that any of our songs creates characters in order to put them down or something. It's just a weird idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just trying to create stories and, you know.
I just love to get guys in here responding to the critics.
I know. But, to all your critics out there.
But,
no, but you know, sometimes you read something about the record and somebody wrote something and it's really perceptive and you're like, oh yeah, I never thought of that. That's cool. And sometimes you're like, what?
Yeah.
What?
You wonder, but I get that a lot when I see reviews of live shows. And I don't want to mention any names, John Pareles, but sometimes I go to concerts and I'm like, was I at the same show that you were at?
Yeah.
But it's all a matter of, you know.
I remember we did this once in New York. We played, I think it was like Webster Hall or something, and I remember thinking it was the greatest show ever. And then the New York Post's headline was, Wayne down the drain.
So why was the New York Post reviewing one of our shows anyway?
You know, the funny thing is you almost gotta love the headline.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe.
You almost want to give him slack for just because it's a great... How do you pass that up?
Right.
Yeah. This record, though, for you, when you look at this collection of songs, is there a mood? Is there a theme? Is there a feeling about it?
I think people try to ascribe those sorts of things after the fact, you know, and a lot of people were saying that about Welcome Interstate Managers. And it's just not true, really. I mean, it's...
Saying what? That it's like a...
There's always a tendency to take 13 songs and figure out what makes it one thing.
And I mean, sometimes it happens accidentally that some songs are related. But
what did people say about Welcome Interstate Managers? That it was some kind of a...
I don't know.
Things were written about it with which you did not agree, Chris. Is that what you're saying?
That record was just all over the place. To me, that record for us sounds like the White Album, where it was just stylistically kind
but
of
much better,
scatterbrained.
But better than the White Album.
But that's
obviously
what I loved about it, right? Because you had country and you had that sort of quasi jam band thing on there, and You know, just all the different styles that you represented on there was great.
I mean, one of the things
about it that was so great.
I do find that if I write a batch of songs, within a few month period, that sometimes they tend to be related thematically by accident.
Mm.
You know, it's not like you sit down and think, I want to cover this subject, how shall I do it?
But
it does, sometimes the same idea kind of works itself out in a few different ways.
Now, you guys don't usually divulge necessarily, I wrote this one, he wrote that one, but my feeling is that Chris wrote this next one.
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah,
we're talking about road song. There's a lot that are flip flopped like
See?
That.
Just when I think I know Fountains of Wayne.
Well, so, I mean, for me, I definitely have to try to write things that Chris will want to sing. And I think with this song, even though I wrote it, I was thinking about him delivering it. So
I didn't get the answer right, but you did because you wrote a song that's so well suited for him that I couldn't tell that he didn't write it. Wow, that's a happily ever after, isn't it? Is that a glass half full? I don't know. Is that just me trying to cover up the fact that I don't know anything?
No, I mean, we always, if people ask, we'll always tell them who wrote what song. We share the credit because we've always done it that way, but it's not like a secret. We're happy to talk about who wrote what song if anybody cares.
You want to play that for us now?
Yeah.
Cool.
Wisconsin, as far as I know. Today was Green Bay and tomorrow Chicago. Wish I was lying, but there isn't much to report. My phone is dying, so I've got to keep it short. I just wanted to say, writing you a road song, it's a cliche, but hey, that doesn't make it so wrong. And in between the stops at the Cracker Barrel and 40 movies with Will Ferrell, I need some way to occupy my time. So I'm writing you a road song, sure hope you don't mind. I bought you a light blue t-shirt last night from some band stand, but their logo's alright. Some kid threw a bottle on stage, he had an arm like a pro. I know it's getting late, I guess I should let you go. But did I happen to say, hey, I've been writing you a road song, don't run away. Promise it won't be too long, and though it's not what you'd call necessary, and I know that I'm no Steve Perry, but even if you roll your eyes and groan, I'm still writing you a road song that you can call your own.
Fountains of Wayne on FUV. And now that I think about the line about Steve Perry, but especially the line about Will Ferrell, that's definitely an Adam song.
Yeah, that's a giveaway.
Yeah, what was I thinking? Fountains of Wayne. Another song from this new one, Sky Full of Holes, on WFUV. You know, when you've got the all the different side projects and then 4 years go by between releases, although not necessarily between touring, I gotta think, what goes into having to like crank up the band again, right? You got to like crank that engine and get that going up. Is there anything in particular that you have to do or think or a mode that you have to get into? You're like, okay, now I'm back in Fountains of Wayne.
Kind of just happens. You know, we get together for like, what, a week and a half or something before we went on tour. And then, you know, Brian's thing is once you're on tour for 3 days, it might as well be a year. Doesn't matter.
For better or for worse, I guess, right?
Come home just as destroyed after one night. I don't know how it happens.
It's interesting when you guys first rolled in, there's really like a camaraderie that you feel, and I'm sure you probably fight like members of any other band, but you must get along well enough together to keep getting together every few years to make the records that you do.
I think we do, actually. I mean, one thing is that everybody is properly mellow on tour. You know, sometimes we have a new person around and they're just talking the whole time. They're like, so what was it like? I'm just like, oh, please be quiet. Just stop talking.
That would
be very zen and just sit back and, you know.
You mean like a new girlfriend or a new, somebody who's hanging around with you?
Might be like a new crew person that just doesn't know to be quiet most of the time,
yeah.
Kind of thing.
Oh, got it.
Get very sensitive about noise.
Yeah, it sounds like a journalist is what it sounds like. Tell me about the record that you made in 1999. As you look back on the records, and I'm sure you probably don't do that every darn day, are there songs now that you look back on, or records or moments that you look back on and you were like, yeah, that was...
I thought you were going to ask the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, I thought so too.
Right? Well, like, would you rather me ask the opposite? So that you just like, I can't stand that. I don't know. You tell me. Anything that stands out either really positive or really negative?
There's probably some of both.
Yeah?
I don't know.
I mean, there's definitely, like, there's some throwaways that are kind of,
Planet of Weed. I could have lived without that one. I don't know. For some reason, Chris and Cliff, our old manager, both liked that song. I was like,
I do like that song.
That's definitely, like, a B-side to me. And they're like, no, that's a good one. And then, like, put that on the record. And like,
there's some incredibly goofy songs like Joe Ray and Janice's Party. They're just, I mean, they're actually fun to play live, but I never, ever get the urge to put those on and listen to them, you know.
I do. I like them. Those are two of his, and I like them a lot.
Right. We've shot down what? Two of his? You shot down.
See, that's what happens. Like, he's talking about two that he wrote, and I'm saying, right. those are good. And I'm talking about one of mine. He's like, I like that one. So that's how they end up on those records.
Okay.
It's all right. But,
got any favorites? You're like, this is my favorite Fountains
of Wayne song. Well, I mean, honestly, Radiation Vibe, which is the first Fountains of Wayne song, is also still one of my favorites. Chris wrote it, and it kind of inspired the whole band.
Mm.
Because up to that point, we had played music together for years before then.
Right, because you met, like...
We went to college together.
Oh, my God. You know what? I think you guys met, like, 25 years ago.
Go to hell.
Which is not possible, because I'm only 23.
Excuse me?
I didn't say that.
I said met. You could have been in diapers, for all we know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that first record.
Yeah, but that song in particular inspired the whole first record. Like, Chris wrote that song. And again, he kind of thought it was a throwaway. And I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Radiation Vibe was a throwaway?
Yeah, I mean,
see, you never know at the time, right?
You don't know, and you don't have perspective if you wrote it necessarily.
Right, because there's also the opposite thing that happens. You write something and you think it's absolutely amazing, and then nobody ever wants to hear it later. Yeah. That's bad.
That's true.
Yeah. I had actually asked if you would mind playing one of the songs from earlier in your career.
Yeah, you want to... So, should we do it? Yes?
Yeah, this song actually, even though it was on the record before this new one,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually a really old song. You want to...
Yeah, I was from a country band I used to be in with Mike Viola, who later on.
I was gonna say, why are you not saying that on the air?
Well, I know.
I love him, but don't tell our listeners.
Mike Viola is just one of the greatest.
Yeah,
he's
amazing.
Oh, what happens is, don't get me started on Mike Viola. That's what I'm saying.
We're actually playing
him.
A bunch of these shows with him right now.
What?
Yeah, not tonight, but he did a couple, and he's gonna do the whole West Coast with us. So. He did a Maxwell show with us recently.
Why didn't somebody call me?
I can't believe Mike didn't call you.
I can't believe it either. I love Mike.
Everybody loves Mike.
Yeah. Well, okay, just for the uninitiated. All right. Okay, here we go. He was in a band called Candy Butchers for a while, and he's an amazing singer-songwriter who's worked a lot with, I want to say,
well, we did
Adam,
That Thing You Do together, which was a big break for both of us.
From the Tom Hanks film, really the centerpiece of the movie.
But the whole connection actually comes from Chris discovering Mike in Boston when
Chris
lived there.
Chris discovered Mike?
Well, not discovered him for the world.
Yeah. Okay, no, yes. I was Mike's friend.
Look what I have found.
Right. I mean, he discovered him for himself.
Right.
So, yeah, Mike and I had a country band in Boston before I moved to New York.
Okay, so we'll give you credit for Mike Viola.
Yeah.
But it makes perfect sense that you guys have that your paths have crossed the way that they have, because he has, I think, a somewhat similar sensibility. I think you guys did a solo.
Mike and I have done some shows together,
a couple years ago. Yeah, so anyway, he's the best thing since sliced bread. Check out his records. And so how did we get onto Mike Viola?
We're talking about how the origin of this song was something that I used to play with Mike in like 1992 or something.
Really?
Yeah, and then, later on it just ended up on a Fountains record. It's actually Mike who sings the backing vocals on the album.
Yeah, I'm doing the Mike part on this, but it is on the record called Traffic and Weather, Fountains Wayne record, but right. Mike is singing on that recording.
So when I asked you to play an older one, why did you pick this one in particular?
Because there's an upright piano and it's a honky-tonk song.
All right, there you go. That's good enough reason. It's Fountains of Wayne on FUV.
Down.